As we draw our sermon series related to the Gospel of Luke to a close, I had two final texts I was planning to use. And I plan to use them in the order they occur in Luke, but I'm switching the two. So the passage from today will not be until next time. And instead, today I'll be reading from the end of the Gospel of Luke, from the 24th chapter, the 13th through the 19th verse, and the 27th through the 35th verse. Very familiar passage. We call it the road to Emmaus many times. So we'll read from Luke 19 next time. As I read this story, try to envision it. It's very important. This story happens on the first Easter Sunday, that afternoon. So just keep that in mind. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead, as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened to them on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, as we begin to draw our conversation about the Gospel of Luke to a close, what better text is there to use than the one I just read? As I said earlier, it's called the Walk to Emmaus. And once again, as we've seen many times this summer, this passage only occurs in the third gospel. This only occurs in the Gospel of Luke. If we didn't have Luke's gospel, we wouldn't have this story. For me, it's the perfect story to gather everything up. As you remember, as you think back across the summer, as you think back across the Gospel of Luke, you remember where it all began. Chapter 1 with an amazing annunciation. Now, I'm going to see if you can finish this sentence, because 9:45 had no clue. So we're going to just test the 11 o'clock service here. "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is..." Oh, you're right on. "The Lord is with you." Good, 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 good. "And then the shepherds heard the good news. I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is... born this day," very good, close enough, very, very, very good. The good news, today, okay? And then we saw it in the synagogue in Nazareth. Jesus returns home after the baptism. He reads this scripture to his fellow Nazareans. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news." And then he folds up the book, he gives it back to the attendant, and we hear this. He says, "Today, this has been fulfilled in your hearing." Then the folks of Nazareth said, "No, stay here. Let's keep the good news right here." And Jesus says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. Good news. The good news is this. Emmanuel, God is with us. In his life and in his ministry, Jesus was making known, was incarnating, enfleshing this presence, this reign of God, this good news. And Luke, the gospel writer Luke, is relentless in sharing this proclamation with us. For instance, you remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, only in Luke. The parable of the lost son or prodigal son, only in Luke. I guess it was last week, the healing of the 10 lepers, only in Luke, and on and on and on. We read many passages. And Luke reminds us throughout the gospel that as Jesus' friends and neighbors were looking up, anticipating the arrival of this divine reality called the kingdom of God and some sort of apocalyptic extravaganza, Jesus says, whoa, wait a minute. And Luke says, Jesus said this, the kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is, for in fact, the kingdom of God is among you. It's here. Kingdom of God is here. It's among you. Good news. Emmanuel. Friends, the story of the walk to Emmaus is the perfect story to cap off this gospel. For me, it gathers up everything. It's a perfect story because it is descriptive of my life of faith up to this point. And I believe that in an overly simplistic way, it is a metaphor for our lives as a community of faith, for the church, for the body of Christ. So think with me for a second about the story we just heard. At some point, most of us in this room stumbled into our faith system. Just think about that. Not all of us, but I would bet most of us just happened in church. All of a sudden, we found ourselves at church. In other words, we just started going to church. How many of you started going to church as a kid? Let's see a show. That's a pretty good percentage. I was surprised that high. You know, sometimes this is what you did. You grew up, you went to church. Some folks started going when they were, let's get married. Well, want to get married in a church? Well, let's start going to church. And you went to church. You know, others, maybe you had kids. You know, I want my kids in church. And that's why you were in church as a kid. Your parents said, let's go to church. Or maybe you just got to that age where you go to church. You know, nothing else to do. Let's go to church. Yeah. I can tell. You know what I'm talking about. You go to church. Well, for whatever reason, somehow we found ourselves going to church week after week or week every other week. You know how it goes. And for the most part, when we were going to church, we were just bored. Bored out of our... That wasn't supposed to be... Okay, I'm on you now. Bored by the whole experience. We dreaded it. It got in the way of what we really wanted to do on Sunday morning. It was just a chore. But we toughed it out. We just kept going to church. We kept moving week after week after week. We kept walking down that road of our religious tradition or our religious system or our religious experience. We traveled down that road. Remember, travel from travail to work. It's tough. I don't know how it came about, but my guess is that one friend said to another, let's go to Emmaus. Let's go to Emmaus. And they started walking down that road. And it wasn't an easy walk. So many things had happened in their life just recently. They had followed this guy named Jesus. And next thing you know, he's being crucified. He's dead. He's buried. All of a sudden, earlier in the day, some people said, he's alive again. What is going on? They were confused. They just said, we go for a walk. We're going for a walk. And sometimes that's what you do. When you don't know how to respond, you just got to get out. You just got to walk. So off they went. Maybe the first thing we did when we started going to church was to go to worship like this. You say, I'm going to go to worship. That's how I'm going to get started. And we sat in a room like this and we began to hear the story. And others came too, and they were strangers, but they decided they would walk with us into this story. And as we walked, we tried to make sense of it all. We tried to make sense. We sang the old hymns that were filled with archaic images and ideas, songs that didn't mean much to us, songs we didn't even know, tunes that weren't especially catchy. But for some reason, we found ourselves singing along, or maybe at least humming along. It was only an hour, after all. I mean, we can put up with anything for an hour, okay? And so we also heard the Bible read. And again, once again, they were stories that didn't make much sense to us. Stories about a time and a culture and a worldview that was just about as far removed from our time and our culture and our worldview as we could imagine. But you know what? We put up with it. And we walked on. It was church, for goodness sake. That's just what you do. That's just what you do. And then we prayed together along the way. And we didn't really know much about the mechanics of prayer, so we just followed the lead. Some people held their hands together in a unique way, or bowed their heads, or shut their eyes. We didn't know any of the names that were lifted up in the prayer concerns or joys, but that didn't matter. We went ahead and went along with it. That's just what you do at church. We shared our concerns with each other as well as our joys, and that was okay. We didn't really understand things, but this is what you do at church. And then we were fortunate enough to hear some very insightful and exhilarating and awe-inspiring sermons week after week after. But we feigned disinterest. We feigned disinterest because that's what you do at church, even though inside we were burning. Or maybe we participated in a men's group, women's group. Maybe we found ourselves driving for Wake Interfaith or Gleaning for Society of St. Andrews, or Nailing Nails for Habitat for Humanity. We walked. As the two disciples walked toward Emmaus, they were joined by a third, a stranger. And they were amazed that he seemed to know nothing about the events that had happened among them. So they walked, and they talked. And as they talked, they shared their lives. And as they shared their lives, something began to happen. Something happened inside. Something began to move. Something began to awaken in them. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He appeared to be going further. But they constrained him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Maybe it's in the laughter of the men's Tuesday morning breakfast, or the senior luncheon, or maybe it's in the enthusiasm of the kids as they run out there with Hershey Kisses or bread, or maybe it's in the mayhem of confirmation class, or the singing of a familiar Christmas carol at the Moravian Love Feast, or maybe it's in the handshake of an old friend or new friend in this place, or maybe it's even in the archaic images or the archaic ideas and songs and scripture readings and sermons and prayer concerns and Christmas pageants and all those other things that happen around here. Maybe it's even in something as simple and commonplace as breaking bread together. Maybe it's all these things and many more that the connections are made. That grace begins to flow through our lives, and the recognition of a profound sacredness is given to us. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road?" Together, the journey into the kingdom of God. The story of the road to Emmaus is our story. And Luke is the only one that gives that to us as he wraps up this gospel for us. Wraps it up. Thank you, Luke, for sharing it with us. It has been played out time and time again. We're just walking along, going about our life, minding our own business, and boom, here we are. Here we are, our lives are intermeshed, held together by a sacred presence that we do not know how to name, but we feel it. Wow. The story of the walk to Emmaus is a story about our faith and our discipleship. It is our story. It's our story because it speaks to us on some deep level of shared experience. St. Augustine said that at its heart, Christianity is faith-seeking understanding. We come here, we don't know what's going on, we just are here. We find ourselves going to church. And it's as we walk and share our lives, all of a sudden, recognition comes. Recognition. For some, it may be a dramatic moment, like Paul had on the road to Damascus. But for so many of us, it's this slow walk as we try to figure it out. Suddenly, we begin to make the connections. Friends, we are an Emmaus community. Pleasant Grove is an Emmaus community. And by that, I mean we're a community characterized by journey, by conversation, by hospitality, by discovery. Today, we call it the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. So, Pentecost. So, what does that mean? Well, it means the same thing that Advent meant. Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter. Emmanuel, God is with us. That's the good news. Thank you, Luke. Thank you, Luke. They told what had happened on the road. Now he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Thanks be to God. Amen.